When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All Smiling Faces podcast is now sponsored by TireSpot, the Northeast's leading tyre supplier with branches across the region. TireSpot don't just do tyres. They cover everything from servicing to wheel alignment. They can handle every aspect of your car's maintenance. For more information, visit tyrespot.co.uk. Enjoy the episode. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Gallagher Shots YouTube channel and podcast. We are back on a Saturday afternoon for your instant match reaction. I am your host, Chris, joined by Nickel, Harry and Joe this afternoon. An afternoon where Newcastle United absolutely thrash yet another London side at home at St. James's Park. Before we get started, Joe, it's in your hands this week. It's in your hands. Say the magic words, mate.
Well, won you now.
Get in!
It was an absolute masterclass from Eddie Howe. A lot of risks going into that game, Harry. He decides to go three at the back, Eddie Howe, in Kraft, Fabian Shaw, and it was the other one.
Kraft, Fabian Shaw, and
Dan Burn. Of course it was, in his natural position at centre-back. A bit of a risk by Eddie Howe, but it's paid off in the end, mate.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all, looking at it, didn't know how it was going to form on the pitch, really, where they were going to sit. And immediately it was a three at the back, and you expect more of a five at the back. I mean, Anderson and Murphy dropped in when they needed to, but it was majority three at the back. And I said to you before, for the people that kind of say, well, and I have as well, I'll hold my hands up, it doesn't look like Eddie Howe has a plan B. He did today, and it worked very well. It was quite a change from how we usually play. And Burns. I'm having a nightmare today.
You're just not getting used to his name, mate, are you?
Burns, Bonds and Gordon as well. Two right-footers, but both played on each wing as well. But I think you got to bang on like today. And we kind of went toe-to-toe with them because everyone's on about Ange Ball and the fun to watch and they're attacking and attacking and attacking. And I said to Daryl just before the game, I was like, if we go at them, how Tottenham go at other teams, this game could finish like 7-6 easily. But the defence was solid, and it was a risk. And you look at that, and everyone was going, oh, that's not a nice defence. It's not a great defence. It was solid.
It did a job. It did more than a job. Like you said, we went toe-to-toe. I think, Joe, probably more than that, we've actually took the game to them. And I think the last handful of games that we saw at St. James's Park, it's been more like a basketball game where it's just back and forwards. We had full control of that game from start to finish.
Absolutely. And I remember saying to my dad about 50 minutes in, I said, there's going to be a point in this game where they're going to come at us and they're going to have a bit of control, and we've got to just see that out. But it didn't end up actually happening. We defended so solidly, and even when they made a couple of changes, like, you know, Kulusevski, I can never get his name right. Kulusevski came on and they changed the midfield up a little bit. They had a little bit more possession. But honestly, I mean, it really just ended up them taking pot shots from 25 yards.
Yeah.
There were a couple of dangerous areas where Werner would come in on the left-hand side, but then...
It's Werner, so what's he done?
Werner. Exactly. They just didn't have their shooting boots on, but we defended so well from the off. And I think Bruno, yeah, he had a fantastic game offensively, but he just mopped them all up, you know, just outside our box from start to finish. It was just absolutely fantastic. And yeah, like you say, it was nice having that consistency in a game for 90 minutes where at no point do we feel like we're going to be under the cosh or we're going to throw it away. And it kind of harks back to the team of last season, where even when we lost possession and we were sitting men behind the ball, we were okay. We felt comfortable.
Yeah.
And given the resources that we had on the pitch and off the bench, it just made it all that more impressive.
What I want to talk about before I start going through the goals and obviously the final score there, Nigel, is the fact that a lot of people have been asking for Gordon to get moved on the right-hand side to accommodate Barnes being on the left-hand side. We saw it today, and by God, Gordon looked great on that right-hand side as well, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he was probably our main threat in the first half, definitely in the early stages. He was, you know, making the runs and getting in behind. So, yeah, and he was dragging the team forward, to be fair. When Tottenham were coming forward, he was the one dragging us up the pitch. And obviously, we saw for the goals his influence in them.
Let's stick with you and let's go through the goals. Isak, to start with, honestly, each single week that goes by with Isak, he just gets better and better, and I didn't think he could get any better, but we'll be looking at the stats from Isak before we'll press record there. And what was it, Dasmo? How many games had Isak played? Premier League? So 19 Premier League games, sorry, and he scored
17.
15. Is it 15 and
now it's 20. So he's played 20 games and scored 17 Premier League goals. That's phenomenal.
Unbelievable, especially in this day and age. Like,
everybody knows what I'm like with stats, by the way, so that might not be right. But Dasmo's
Googled it.
That man does the corner. But it's great. It's great, isn't it, Nigel?
Yeah, he's just got that bit of quality that that you need at the front end of the pitch. And I think it's becoming clear from when you're watching them week in, week out, who the players are sort of standing out from the rest. And he's definitely one of them. I'd say Anthony Gordon's another, and obviously Bruno in the middle. So yeah, great goal to start us off today.
I will say there are not many players in the world, never mind in the Premier League, that you see them go one-on-one with a keeper and you know that 9.5 times out of 10, it's in the back of the net.
And puts a defender on the horse.
Absolutely. Yeah, and on the neck. It's such a rare trait to have. I mean, I know a striker's job is to obviously score goals, but it's that composure in the box, especially when you've got one or two defenders on you. And he's just consistently delivering in week in, week out with these kind of things.
And what was good to see today, Joe, we have saw Isak go drifting, looking for the ball at times. Mm. Today, because we're so dominant and had control of that game, he didn't have to do that because the support was there throughout.
No, exactly. And we saw it with Bruno as well. He set up two of the goals today, both Isak goals, if I remember rightly. And you're right. Like, you had Barnes on the left-hand side who was linking up well with Anderson, who could then, you know, like, bring up the left-hand side and bring everyone else into play.
Anderson went under the radar. Like,
he was phenomenal today. But you're right. Yeah, Isak didn't need to play that deep-lying centre forward that was having to bring people in play, like a Harry Kane, ironically. Like, but he didn't need to do that today. Him and Gordon were on the shoulder of the last defender for so much of that game, because the moment we got the ball, we were so dominant in control midfield that we could play it out and then either get those long balls out with Bruno or get it out to the wings with the likes of Barnes or Murphy.
Long balls are decent. Like, I mean, for me, Bruno, fantastic player, but he runs in mud and it looks like you could power up a shot for about 10 minutes and it would still move 2 meters. But today, the amount of times that he's played an unbelievable
spray
ball
on the money,
but like perfection as well, like exactly where it needs to land, exactly where it needs to be. Unbelievable. Every single player on that pitch today. I went in a bit pessimistic, but every single player was unbelievable, including Dan Burn. And I'm not a fan of Dan Burn, but at centre half, he's the man.
I'll tell you, he's the man. I mean, he was pretty much playing left back for a little bit, though, wasn't he?
He was, but then if
he was drifting right to right back a lot of the time.
Yeah, but then he was still so compact. And Anderson, that's why I think he went under the radar. Anderson, the amount of times he'd cover back for Burn would be amazing, which brings Burn back into the middle. and ready to deal with. Like when Kulusevski came on.
Yeah.
So that, Dan, one of the members from the channels mentioned that Anderson channeled his inner Joe Linton today. Similar sort of role.
Yeah,
he was breaking it, wasn't he? Yeah, on that left-hand side.
Just up and down constantly. Strong.
But he's got composure inside the box as well. There was a shot that he took in the second half whereby I'm pretty sure he skinned someone and he shot it near post. And it's just those little things that make your midfielders stand out more because you need that little bit of creativity. You know, we see Joe Willock, but... Mm. You know, he's not on the pitch a lot of the time. So.
Like Joe said there, Harry, that when Isak gets the ball in that positions, 99% of the time, he's either going to score or hit the target.
Yeah.
And it's just when his trademark move now where he just shimmies it to the right-hand side and just smashes it.
Yeah. I mean, how many times did he try it that game?
Yeah.
And he got unlucky for a few of them where it didn't exactly pay off. But it reminds me of a lot of when we first signed Bruno. And if anyone remembers, against Crystal Palace, it was like last minutes of the game and he had it in our box and he was spinning on the ball and he was keeping it. And everyone's like, get it out, get it out. I find myself doing the same with Isak, like hit it. Oh, no. Oh, like, fair enough. You've done the right thing. Like, because you just want, as soon as, even still now, and we've had success. Well, if you want to call it success, relative success for us anyway, you still, the inner Newcastle fan just goes, oh, you're in the box. You got to hit it. Shoot. But he's got so much composure to pick that ball up and just roll it in and put it in. It's not like I'm just going to smash it. He knows exactly where he wants to put it and he puts it there. Like going near post for that shot, I thought was a bit peculiar, but it's obviously me. He's just gone, I know what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
he's very go. Silky player, isn't he?
Yeah. Just like, exactly that. Bit like Gordon. Gordon was composed as well for his strike.
Yeah. I mean, sticking with Gordon. It's happened again with Spurs, hasn't it? Where they just collapse. They can't see them. They just collapse. It's what, about a minute, 2 minutes after
they don't help themselves. No. They put pressure on themselves.
From minute one, they were trying to play it out from the back.
Couldn't do it.
They were like Van de Ven was getting the ball on their left-hand side so much, and then Gordon was just pushing up, and they were just having to lump it long. What were the
Kraft?
I don't think they had anyone to wait it up
to. So for those, Kraft was amazing because he would get so high up the pitch, and as soon as that ball gets passed, he's right up their ass immediately.
Unbelievable.
In seconds, and it was.
I thought Kraft had a mint game.
So did I.
Yeah, it's class.
So did I.
So solid.
Did he have a strike or a header?
He hit the post.
Did he? I knew he had a swing where it was. Oh, was it the volley? Like he hit a post. Half volley in it.
Oh, the second half, hit the post.
Yeah. The base of the post.
From my angle, it looked like he's hit the ground, spinned off. Like, but hit the post.
Nah, he hit the post. He was so unlucky. But those couple of shots were unbelievably unlucky. I think Isak obviously, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but to get his hat trick, it just the keeper's full stretch diving for it. It's a header, and it just glances around the post, and you think, like, so
there were. We had about at least five or six corners in that first half where we should have scored. Barnes just missed a great chance. Isak was just over, but it was nice because I can't remember the last time we were that consistent with corners.
I was about to say that.
We had a lot of corners today.
Yeah, we had a lot, but we were making so much of it. Like the fact that we were getting on the end of them on that first ball every time.
I'm a Spurs fan, I'm livid because
of course
every time Gordon's two arms in the air, surely you can think, oh, they're going for the same plan then. Back post to Dan Burn. And if it gets anyone on the way there, they're good. But they let it happen every time. Vicario on his line and the defense letting Burn run around the back. I mean, they shouldn't do it.
Yeah. Like, and that Van de Ven, who's like 7'20", he should be on with Dan Burn all the time, but he wasn't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very handsy in the box as well with corners. There was a few where there was one actually, Lazy's end, where it's been given a foul to Tottenham because he's had a handful of burned shirt. And then the Tottenham player's gone, oh crap, I'm just going to have to hit the deck here and hope for the best.
Yeah.
And free kick went the other way and I was livid. But Gordon's set pieces today were fantastic. Hit the first man once.
Yeah.
From what I recall.
Yeah.
Trippier hit the first man. No slander on Trippier, but he hit it first man three times.
So Gordon's goal though, like we said, it's straight after Isak. It's just a couple of minutes. Scott is watching from Amsterdam there and he's been watching the TV and he said, even the cameras missed Gordon's as well because they're too busy showing the replays from Isak's.
Wow.
It's honestly, it's when you score back-to-back goals in quick succession like that, Nickel, it's the roof. If we had a roof in St. James's Park, it'd be gated at the minute.
I said to me, mate, at the match, that the noise after that second goal was like something else. It was like so loud. And it was brilliant just to get one after the other. It felt a bit like the year before when we played Spurs. You thought, is it gonna happen again? But yeah, brilliant. Just to hit, two in a row. And then we were trying to get the third before half time as well. And that would have probably killed it at half time. But But yeah, unbelievable.
Going in 2-0 up at halftime, Joe. Mm. Obviously, in the match preview, Scott, I think it was Scott and Daryl mentioned the fact that Spurs are a better team in the second half of a game. Yeah. Are you worried at any point? Are you thinking we've got a good control of this? It's going to take a big change for those to come back into this.
Well, I didn't think it could get any worse for them. I'm surprised. I'm really surprised that they didn't offer more in that second half, because they were getting the ball to Madison a few times in that first half, and you know, he was trying to dictate a bit of the play.
Whingy little bastard.
Oh, you know, he lost his head a few times.
Whingy little bastard. Yeah. I think it's Joe, just because you mentioned there as well, sure, with Madison, he wasn't getting enough service in position, isn't it? And he started looking for the ball as well. He just found himself similar to what Kabay used to do with us.
Yeah,
in a way, he used to start drifting back into our own half and trying to control play from there.
He was trying to be that sort of deep line player,
completely nullified from the game.
Yeah,
well,
because if you got anywhere near the likes of Bruno or Anderson, he was just getting dispossessed or just bullied off the ball. Like, he was trying his best to make things happen from deep, and it just wasn't going for him. I thought Bissouma as well. He was trying to do something. I thought he did quite well for them. At times, but again, once they got into our final third, we were just defending so well. But no, going back to the second half when they came out, I thought to myself that they're going to have a period of like maybe 15-20 minutes. Son could really come into it, and all it takes is one goal, and then all of a sudden tails are up. You think, oh, we could actually get back into it here. I mean, we've seen us on the, you know, we've been on the other end of that where recently with, you know, West Ham and stuff, where all it takes is one goal and you think we've got a chance here. But like, they didn't offer anything. Mm-hmm. And as much as I'm slating Spurs here, again, you've got to give credit to the lads for not allowing them that space.
And it's a makeshift team as well, Joel.
And it's a makeshift team. And Bruno's on one yellow card from a two-game ban.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Yeah, exactly. And
we should have party poppers for this moment.
I know. The minute he got subbed off, I was just like, oh, thank God for that. But again, he's got to be really disciplined. And I thought I think this, however many 10, 15 game span that Bruno's had to go on without,
I think it's more like having four seasons, to be fair.
I know, four seasons of Bruno not getting a yellow card. I think he's added so much to his game, and it's nice to see that he doesn't need to resort to those kind of tactics to perform, you know, perform and put on that great defensive display. Got to give him a lot of credit.
Yeah, agree. Harry, let's go straight into the third goal. It's Isak once again. And do you know what it is? I don't think I have the words to explain Alexander Isak,
because mint.
He's better than that. Like
really, Swedish, really Swedish mint
balls. Like,
lovely.
He's like Swedish meatballs. Right. Okay. He's honestly. I know we have had a little bit of this podcast just mentioned Isak, but Harry, from you, he's fantastic, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, I've said for a few weeks now, and I've said for a few years, to be fair, with Newcastle teams, I hate when we have a strike that's isolated. And like you said before, he's had to go looking for the ball. Today, he didn't. We had two wings on each side that were going to give him support. And his position was just perfect. He was waiting for everything. I mean,
even strength as well.
Yeah, and you look at him and you think, oh, he'll get pushed over by the wind. Like, walking here, going over the Tyne Bridge, the wind was mad on it. He'd be straight off that. But he holds them off so well, his positioning of his body. But going back to that composure that we're saying, that ball over the top, for him to be ready to move, to stay onside, not jump the gun, and then just bring it in and shift it. And he changed his body. If you watch, as we saw it on the big screen, he's running at some pace and just turns and hits it with his right.
It's the shifting.
It is so quick. And if you're the goalkeeper, you're just thinking, I do not know what he's going to do here.
Yeah.
He's one of those players. He's a bit of a maverick, isn't he?
Yeah. I really want to emphasize the timing that you mentioned. Both goals, he could have quite easily been offside for them, but he holds his run perfectly. So the third one, he's right on the halfway line. Yeah, kids are, you know, a bit easier to do that when you've got a line in front of you. But to do it for the first goal as well, just great composure. Yeah. And you see it time and time again. I go back to his non-goal against Liverpool. It was first and arguably should have stood, because
still
goal. It's a goal. It's a goal. But the point is that he is playing on the last man, but he's timing it so well, and defenders just can't.
But what we're saying about him being isolated today, that's why he was so much better at that. We've been crying out for someone that's in the middle. Like, the amount of times recently where I've gone, there's no one in the box. What's the point in going down the byline? No one in the box. And like, he could stay in his position in that number nine role and be a threat and pull defenders out of position, allow Barnes to cut in on the right, allow Gordon to come in by pulling back. And it works so, so well. And that front three has to stay.
Dynamite, wasn't it?
Gordon on the right hand side. As I mean, you can do both, but I think the strongest three that we have in Barnes, Gordon, Isak.
Yeah, if they're all fit, then that's what we need to play.
Yeah, 100%. I know Gordon as an individual works better on the left hand side because he works better as an inside forward. We've seen his trademark so many times scoring, but setting up Isak again on the right hand side, he can cut crosses in with his strong foot. Barnes can work as that direct forward on the left hand side to go to the byline and commit defenders. It just works so well.
But Anderson worked behind Barnes.
And Anderson, man, we'll have to talk about Anderson.
Overlapping Barnes. Barnes cuts in. Defenders are going, oh, he's cutting in. Anderson straight on the outside.
Anderson's looked great since he came back to fitness, hasn't he, Nick?
Yeah, he's been really good, Anderson. I think he deserves some credit from today.
He's really looked great, he has. But I think just going back to Gordon, Harry, I think a lot of people were worried that if Gordon was shifted onto the right-hand side, we'd probably lose the goals which Gordon supplies. But we've just proved today he's on that right-hand side and he's got himself on the score yet again.
I used to say the argument for Miggy where it got boring on the right, got stale. Defenders know what you're doing. You're cutting back. Get Miggy on the left and he covers the byline. We can do that with Gordon. Gordon's got the pace. He's got the skill. He's got the composure to put a pass in. And if we can keep Isak in that position, in that middle, Gordon will have a field day finding him in that box. Mm-hmm. And Barnes, I mean, yes, we might miss Gordon's cutting in, but Barnes has shown throughout his career how good he is by cutting in, just having a shot. Yeah, like in the shifting of the players know that. It's a kind of a psychological thing for those players going, Barnes has cut in. So there's a massive gap in the defence if you want an overlap, if you want Gordon to get in a bit more space. Mm-hmm. But Gordon today for me was up and down, and he has been for a while. To be fair, at the start he didn't do what Miggy does where he come back, but no one does what Miggy does because he's like a headless chicken. But Gordon was up and down and trying his absolute hardest to get that ball,
absolute grafter, man,
going to help our teammates as well. Mm-hmm. Teammates will be in a bit of a rut with someone, can't get the ball, Gordon, I'm coming in, I'm getting you. And it was brilliant. He was chasing so many lost balls.
The press
by him as well,
it's the first time for a little while where we've seen that press come back though. Because the last time
successfully as well, there's times where we've tried it, but then teams have managed to pass us around it, and we've just not had the legs. Mm. But we've had the legs today, and then some.
Their formation did help though, because we had every one of their three men at the front covered by Isak, Barnes, and Gordon.
Absolutely,
thanks, King Eddie.
Cheers.
Did his homework that time, didn't he?
Mm. Aye, absolutely. Plan B.
Moving over to the last and the fourth goal, which brings it to Newcastle 4 Spurs 0. It's Fabian Shaw. He gets a goal ruled out last week, but he comes back this week and makes a 4, Joe. Mm-hmm. I love Fabian. I know we spoke about Isak, but Fabian, 3.5 mil. He's what a signing he has been.
Absolutely unbelievable. Yeah, he was great today defensively as well as obviously getting his goal. And I mean, it goes back to what I said. In the first half, we had so many opportunities from corners, and I thought it was a matter of time before we managed to actually finish one of the chances. If you watch his goal back, he manages to lose his man quite early on and get into some space, and it was just absolutely perfect.
Well, there's a little bit of commotion in the box beforehand. There's a couple of times in the corners, the referees had to calm it down a little bit, but I didn't think there was much going on. There's a bit of manhandling. With Fabian's goal, it's Dan burning somebody, having a bit of a scuffle, as they normally do.
Yeah.
Then the referee calls it back. Then that just, Dan Burn makes a great run. He loses his man. Mm-hmm. And I think that just opens that little pocket of space up for Fabian.
Yeah, absolutely. And to get the power and the accuracy, it's unreal, man. Like, he's been such a player for us, and I think he's only second to Anthony Gordon for player of the season.
That's a shout, to be fair. Bruno.
I would have Bruno. Yeah. As well.
Top three. Them three. Yeah, top three. I mean, they've all been fantastic. Shaw's There's an the argument for every single one.
The best, like,
pound for pound.
Best defender this season, Fabian Shaw.
Oh, yeah, by a mile. But, like, the amount of money was spent on him, and then he came in, he went through his top knot era and was dross. And then got rid of his top knot era, went back to his quiff, and he's just sexy Swiss man, isn't he? Absolutely lush. But, like, I love
he only scores sexy goals.
What he did as well, we had a free kick, and I couldn't tell you the time, and I don't really recall it that well, but I remember the game almost just feeling dead at this point, and we were just running the clock out a little bit. And on the left-hand side, man free in charge, like, I'm just going to hammer this as far as I can to that left-hand side.
Aye.
Perfect. Just absolutely pristine of a pass that. Mm. And he does that. He can look and spread that ball so easily.
Yep. Yeah, ball playing centre-back, it's such a privilege to have them, mm-hmm. you know. And I think
ball carrying centre back.
Centre back.
Fabian Schär.
Good Mr. Going on an adventure. Oh, I know. He's great.
Do you know when we said, and I don't know if anyone else was in this conversation, like, but
just you. Do you mean am I being
idiot? I might even just talk myself in the mirror, like
hearing voices again.
But I don't know if we'll talk about it on here or not, but I think I made an argument of possibly putting Schär in midfield. Mm-hmm. Right. At the minute, he didn't get in. Like, he doesn't. However, if we have massively injury crisis, right, he can easily play that number six role.
I'm not sure.
Oh my God.
I think it's just not the injury crisis. Yeah. We've already got one, so let's not have another one.
I think it's probably been tried with so many players. You know, maybe we'll put Santon on a wing at one point as well. Or did
Santon play CDM? He played, I think it was Man City or Chelsea away or something.
There's been a few times. I think Chancellor Mbemba might have played in midfield at one point.
Gufran. He was a defensive midfielder at one point.
Johan Gufran. I did not recall that.
Talk about pound for pound signs. From Bordeaux.
Yeah. They were still singing about him today as well.
The word that was random, wasn't it?
Was he?
Yeah, there was a good friend chance start in the back corner.
Colaccini got an out as well.
Yeah, there's a few. Yeah.
But honestly, like we said, Nicola, at the start of this one, I think the 4-0 scoreline kind of flatters Spurs because it could have been a hell of a lot more. And we said when we were walking over here from the game there that's probably up there with one of the performances and the wins of the season, because like I've mentioned a couple of times, we just absolutely smashed that game from start to finish. We controlled every single second of it. And there wasn't really, what Joe mentioned, there wasn't really one moment in there that were panicked or struggled.
Yeah. I think I can't really recall one clear-cut Spurs chance. I think Werner had a volley in the first half.
I think when it rose there, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It was a brilliant ball.
Debravka scored one, but
Madison had like a shot from 25 yards out. That was okay.
I was actually really disappointed with Spurs, to be fair. Like, I thought they would have come with a bit more. Because they've been
happily disappointed.
They've been playing well this season. And I thought we would win, but I thought it would be high scoring.
There was one shot like in the first few minutes of the game, and it was kind of the opposite side of it. It was in the Gallagher. I didn't have a great view of it. So, like, how close was that actually going?
I can't even remember. So, it must have been close.
I can't remember a clear chance for them. So,
yeah.
They missed Richarlison. And I don't like that pigeon.
Imagine saying that.
Yeah, Scouts Man.
I know they needed that number 9.
That's the worst superhero name in the world.
Pigeon Scouts Man. but they did. I mean, Son can play that role. But that's why I'd be so frustrated if I was Madison, to be fair. Like, I know we said he had head loss. His idea is creating in front of him. He had to drop so deep and then had just two men out here.
Yeah.
I think we've got to give a shout out to
our tactics today. Because, you know, we matched them up.
Yes.
The front three, we matched them up.
Eddie's had his number on that
100%. I mean, we were forcing Son to drift over to like the right-hand side on the byline just to get...
They ended up taking him off after 70
I was surprised about that. I thought he had an injury.
The whole crowd was when...
He moved on to the middle at that point.
But he was... We kept him quiet. Like, Dan Byrne...
They were struggling.
The reason they were playing out from the back so much is because they don't have a big physical presence, like you said. Richarlison up front. So
Dan Byrne was good, like, wasn't he?
He's really
great in that
position. What a left back.
What a centre half.
Centre half, thank you.
Centre left back.
That's not to be fair to Dan Byrne, I usually, right, and this is just me, right, because I'm not the massive fan of him at the minute, but I am now. I'll always find little things that I dislike about him. And I go, oh man, Dan Byrne.
From Blythe, man.
I lose my head a little bit. But today there was nothing that was a negative from Dan Byrne for me. Absolutely nothing. No. I mean, he had a few 50 pence heads, but he was in those positions. And he's probably the only man that could win those headers, to be fair.
Captain today as well.
He did very, very well. Is that banner? Get that banner out every time with the Geordie lads and hold that up. Shout out to War Flags.
That was great.
It was very, very good.
Yeah. I just want to end it by looking at the current Premier League table. And if you're all listening to this back or watching this back, it is currently 4:15 on a Saturday evening. So the games are currently going at the moment. I think it's about 7 games at the minute. But there's only a couple which can really affect our position. So Newcastle, let's go from 8th upwards. So you've got West Ham in 8th on 48 points. You've got Man United just behind Newcastle on 49. Then you have Newcastle in 6th. Obviously, 10-point gap between Newcastle and Spurs at the minute. So it's quite a bit that we'll have to catch up in that one. But obviously, we'll claw it back a little bit with today's result. Mm-hmm. We are in the fight for this still, aren't we, Joe? A lot of people are claiming that the season was over just a handful of weeks ago. We're still in this fight, mate.
I tell you.
In the fight for Champions League, are you saying?
Not necessarily the Champions League, but I said on the way down that I think this will probably go to the last game or two of the season to find out which
Yep.
Which competition we're going to end up
in. I know that there's times where we do not put on a vintage performance, but we're showing that even when the chips are down and we're on our absolute bare bones with resources, we're still grinding out results. And that's the hallmark of a team that will finish in the top seven. Like, I think right now, given the fact that we still have Man United to play, they're going to drop points. You could almost argue that six
just around the corner as well. That
massive game, that one.
It's almost within our hands. We have to obviously perform in the games that we're expected to perform in. But yeah, you're right. I think right now, top seven, you have to assume that it's on. And if that got us Europa League, it's as big as an achievement as last season.
Do you know what it is? I know I've kind of dismissed the chance of the Champions League football, but Spurs' run, if I remember right, it's honking, absolutely stinking.
It's horrendous, but you know, it's 10 points in. Spurs are still a good team. They can and will turn teams over. I think, I still think that's too far off, but...
I was talking to Spurs fans on the Metro. I got on, I mean, is that if I stand here?
Well, they lost.
You are?
Well, they lost. What were they doing on the Metro?
They drove from London and got on the Metro at East Boulden, which... blows my head. I went,
I know what they've done. They've Googled free car parks on the Metro line for the vendor by East Bolton. That's what they've done.
I was like, if I was standing here, and then they're like, yeah. And I was like, oh, I knock out my tires. Yeah. But they were saying,
I'll knock you up.
They're now not confident for the rest of the season. They weren't, like, they said, we could beat you today, but we're not confident. And they're running. They were like, we're not happy with this running. Like, it's
because they've still got the top three teams to play. They're still fighting.
And they're massive games, not only for obviously points, but morale. If you're in their position fighting to try and keep yourself up the table, you're getting beat by these top teams. I will put us into that as in top of the Premier League. It's a hit on morale, and you're going to the next team going, we can't lose. And your head goes down that route rather than like, right, let's change this up, let's go again. But
especially when they're looking over the shoulder now as well.
If they're going three on the bounce, they'll be thinking they're just behind us. And then we'll be thinking, right, let's get at them. Because we can. Our running is pretty sexy. Yeah.
Sometimes it's better to be the chaser than the one with the sort of the points.
Yeah, I think if you look at the teams immediately around us, like you say, like the Man United, the West Hams of the world, I'm pretty sure they've got some pretty disgusting fixtures to come up as well.
I think we'll have to take it with a pinch of salt as well, because you look at all these fixtures and think, that'll be all right. But we're own victims of that.
Well, that's it. We shot ourselves in the foot so much. You know, you've got to be careful, and you can't take any, you can't take any fixture for granted and think that you almost guarantee 3 points.
Everton, I mean, Luton for us.
Forest.
Yeah.
Literally.
Exactly.
Yeah. We've got a bit of a habit, haven't we, of turning up the top teams and struggling against those lower down. But I really like what sort of day. I thought, like you say, confidence, it will be as high as it possibly can. And Spurs are a team in the top four at the minute. And regardless of the fact they had an off day, they've still had an unbelievable season. And, you know, don't forget that they turned us over at their place as well. So it's to get one back over on them, it stands us in good stead. And we have to take it into the last few games of the season, and it can only do us good. And I'm really feeling quite optimistic for our chances up until the end of May or whenever the season ends. We're in a good place, man.
I'm buzzing with that result, you know. Oh, yeah. Absolutely brilliant. Buzzing with that result.
I'm so happy. I kind of came in with no expectations, because I thought it could go either way, and it went the way I wanted.
I expected to get battered, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't confident in the sight. It's just from looking at that defence. But I will just say, on the back of that, for all years, do you keep that same team for the next game?
Do you have
if Tino, I mean, Tino and Lewis Hall come back, right? So fair enough, you could go four at the back. But that's a decent... I mean, Crystal Palace next, isn't it?
Is
it?
Yes.
Crystal Palace, 27th.
Away?
Is it? I think.
Yeah, Dasmo's nodding. Yeah.
Dasmo knows everything. Statman Dasmo.
Statman Daz behind the camera.
they've got some fast wingers, Palace. I mean, they're tricky. It might do us... I don't know.
I think you'll go back to a four.
Lewis Hall, when he came on
today, to match up the front three.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
I think... Which shows you can adapt your tactics.
Can't he?
Can adapt his tactics.
Van Vieri,
aye. That's it for us. Thanks, everybody who has watched us live. There's nearly 1,000 people watching there. So if you're one of those people that are watching live, just like the video, means a lot to us as well. Become a subscriber. It costs you nothing to do that. If you do want to give an extra bit back, it is just $2.99 a month to become a member. With the membership, you do get access to videos a lot earlier than other people. You get extra videos as well. You get access to that Telegram group, which is full of Newcastle United fans as well. I'm sure it's absolutely buzzing in there at the moment as well, and in that group as well. We do go out and meet up with everybody as well, and we'll end up on a sesh at some point towards the end of the season with everybody.
I'm having a sesh after this.
Joe's heading straight out. After we dine ourselves in Aldi's finest French lager at Brasserie.
Talking about best money for money, like pound for pound.
Pound for pound.
Value. Get on the brand. Barbie and chair of lagers.
Thanks, everybody. Like I said, been a pleasure as always. And we shall see you next time.
See you later.
What should we do?
Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.